great. I've confessed with my mouth, I believe in my heart, I'm saved. But you know, there's another promise that the Bible says that says that if we seek after Him with the whole heart, He'll be found by us.
Come on.
It's a promise, just like salvation is a promise. And I felt like there was hunger in this room to go after God, to find God. And that there's a promise that God's giving you to say, He's going to find you. You'll be found by Him. Right? And so I feel like there's a seed that started from this place a number of years ago. It grew into something called TBS, right? Tuesday Night Bible Study. It was a youth movement of a previous generation that set a foundation for some of the things that we're living in right now, in this day and in this time. And I just felt like when I came into the room, the hunger in the room, the desire to find God, that energy to say, man, I'm going after God, I'm finding God if nothing else. It was the same type of thing that stirred hunger in the hearts of your previous generation to say, we're going to go after God, we're going to find God, and we were found by Him. Changed our lives. It set course for even where we're at right now as a county. And I feel like there's another level, another way, and God's inviting you guys to continue to press into it. So there's a promise of God. Just keep seeking after Him, going after Him with the whole heart, and you'll be found by Him. So just, yeah, come on. So good. We are so honored and privileged to be here. Youth with a Mission Lancaster, it's not about us coming in as a big organization. We have a prophetic word that was kind of the foundation for us coming, and that is that God was putting us in as a hub, and we were to connect with and support regional churches in the area to see a missions wave go out of a transformed location to transform the nations of the earth. And so we know that what you guys are doing right here is such a huge part in seeing the kingdom of God made manifest in places where He's not known. And so we just want to help serve and undergird and support what God's doing in this region and help train and send people if that's the best fit for you. So we're thrilled to be here. We're thrilled to partner with these guys and all of you at the Ranch community. Three things that are coming up this summer is that we're just getting off the ground. We're not even at our property yet on a regular basis. So we're going to start that in April, the end of May, May 28th, 29th, and 30th. We're having a dedication of the property and of the ministry to the Lord, and we're inviting the whole region to come to that. You'll be hearing more information about it, but God gave us the word that we're going to be a hosting place first, training center second. So we're going to take 3 days, just host the presence of the Lord, set up a tent, go after God, the presence of the Lord. Just like when they dedicated the temple, it was like, okay, God, we're yours. And so they just spent time worshiping, welcoming the presence of God. The glory of God came down and we're going to be able to minister. And so we're basically just wanting to have that same thing where we're saying, okay, God, come have your way, do what you want to do. So that'll be in May. In June, we're having a partner with the Circuit Riders to hold a training called 21 Project. So that'll be June 21st through July 3rd. And then there's an infusion camp, which is 6th through 12th grade. So again, you'll hear more information about that. And then we're going to start our first DTS, Discipleship Training School, to train and send people to the nations starting the end of September of this year. So the property is the Twin Pine campus. It used to be Twin Pine Car Dealership on 322. So God's got awesome purposes to transform that place into a missions training and sending center. So we're super stoked about that. But if you want to follow along, we do have a Facebook page, we have an Instagram, and we have a website. So that's the best way you can sign up for our newsletter, get information. So www.y1lancaster.com. And we're just stoked to be a part of the awesome stuff God's doing here. Just a shout out for these guys, in case I don't get another chance. Just all the people that are helping lead this and provide this opportunity, I just couldn't be more proud to be here and come alongside these guys. They are just the real deal, and I just want to do anything I can to like push you guys forward, so thanks so much.
Just like the Israelites have a pillar of fire.
fire and cloud. It's almost like he's a pillar that just rallies us towards the purposes of God, towards our inheritance, right? So Dave, I'm just going to pray for you, and then I'm going to hand the mic over to you. Right? So let's pray for Dave. Just extend your hands right now. Yes, Lord, I thank you for Dave, for his life. I thank you that you did it all now. Jesus, that you finished the work. And I thank you for his laid down, surrendered life, God. Time and time again, God, he said yes to you. He said yes to you. Because of that, God, your words are come alive in his name and touch our hearts. So we bless him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Stephen, and thank you to everybody that's here. Such an honor to be here, guys. And even like what Luke was sharing, for each and every what's happening, and even in our community, just a massive privilege to be here. A few of us were down in Cuba for a week, got back early this week. We were down for a missions trip, and my heart was just deeply impacted by the people down there, and I could have easily spent a few more days there. And in past missions trips, it was so often, I was like, man, I just want to stay here. God had done so much in my heart, and I wanted to stay in that place. But this time, knowing there's a community of people here that love each other, that we don't have to go somewhere to host the presence of God, but we can literally just do it together. I was so excited to come back and continue this journey with you guys. So again, just a massive privilege to be part of the community. There's moments that occur when you're living in community, and I want to start with one of those.
This is so good!
Something that happened in Cuba that I felt like we just kind of need to share and take the night off. So
John, keep thinking.
For these guests, and the Lord will provide your chicken when you need it. So she gave up her chicken, And do you think the amen didn't happen? They served it to us? No, they're sitting back smiling, just pleased that they were able to put, give everything that they had for their guests. As I thought about that, really, tonight, I just wanted to speak about living from our inheritance. Because they were living from their inheritance. They know who they are. They know who their father is. They trust that he's going to provide. He's going to meet them at every turn, at every need. And I just was struck by that. If we have a community of people that begin living like that. Prosperity, abundance, all that, it's not bad. It's our inheritance. But do we live like it? So that's really the title of the message, is living from our inheritance. And you know, there is a beauty. Now there I discovered the beauty of living on the fringe. You know, we have all our backup plans again, our comforts. And even if we won't give our last, that's really what I've seen down there, we won't give our last if we don't believe the Father's going to meet our need. They were giving everything they had because they truly knew their inheritance. They knew who their Father was, and they knew he has an abundance of resources, and they knew that in the kingdom of heaven there's no lack. So I just want to challenge us with our belief system tonight. You know, if what we believe, our emotions reveal what we believe. And then if we act upon our emotions, suddenly we're doing things, we're living our life from our belief system. So I just want us to do a temperature check tonight and say, what is our belief system? Because many times our belief system can be distorted by what we experience in relationships here on earth. Our earthly father, even interactions that we had, we believed in someone, maybe we got burned. Maybe we burned someone else. And that has distorted our belief system. And that really leads to an orphan spirit. And it manifests in our behavior. So again, I just want us to think about tonight, what would it look like to live from our inheritance? Truly understand what our inheritance is. And so the scripture context for tonight, I'm going to read through Luke 15. But the context of this is Jesus was sharing with a crowd of people. And so often, when I read through the scripture, it's so easy to take it out of context or not put myself in the cultural context. But think about it. Jesus is sharing with the Jewish culture here. He had just shared about the lost sheep. Many of us know the story of where the shepherd leaves the 99 to go for the one, right? Why would he endanger the 99 to go find the one? He shares about a woman had the coins, and she would search for the lost coin. As he was just sharing about the importance of the Father, and then he continues right into this story. And he begins to break cultural barriers. So many times, Jesus would begin to challenge people with things that we now again read right past. But culturally, there was things he would say that they were like, there's just no way. Like, they were almost shut down even listening to him because he was always blaspheming what they did, what they saw and did doubt day to day. So going into this, he was just really, in the Middle Eastern culture, the Father is the unquestioned head of the home. You don't question him. What he says goes. And eventually, obviously, if you're a man of, you know, if you have an accumulation of wealth, as they pass away, that inheritance is passed along. And but men of stature in the Middle Eastern culture are held in such high honor, and they're very careful not to jeopardize that. So their belief system is that they need to live in such a way not to jeopardize the honor that is due them as the head of the home. And so, in that culture, is running is pretty much out of the question. If you're the head of the home, you don't embarrass yourself by running. So there's a couple things here that I just want us to think about as we read through Luke 15 together. So Luke 15, 11. Again, this is the parable of the lost son. It's a pretty lengthy scripture, so just bear with me. There's some things that we want to pull out here, just feel the Lord has been highlighting. So if we could pull that up, John 11, verse 11. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So again, think about this. He's going to the father and saying, I want my inheritance now. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the same time his money ran out, a great famine spread over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him in his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. Just thinking so much again about this family in their home, killing their pig, right? I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. So now he's saying, I have no more inheritance, right? He says, please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His father said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. And I just think about many of us here in Lexington County, just think about something that would just blow our minds culturally. What a father would do. He ran out, he embarrassed himself, he did what you do not do as a man of stature, as the head of the home in that culture. And many of us are familiar with conservative culture here, Amish and Mennonite or whatever, it doesn't matter what our background is, I think we understand. The Lord's just like, what? Can you imagine how shocking it would be if Jesus was here and he would say, this man shaved his beard to reconcile with his son? Like, think culturally, Lexington County culture. What that would do to the neighborhood. This, what? Like, he would do that? This is his crowd. He's speaking to them in ways that would shock them to reality, would stop them in their tracks and be like, can I even believe what it's saying? It's so upside down of my belief system. But guys, I believe our inheritance is available now. He says the kingdom of heaven is available to us. If we've been reconciled with the Father, our inheritance is available now. But what we believe is going to dictate what we do with it. Wow. Do we get that? What we believe, guys, is going to determine. We're going to feel the emotion based on what we believe, and we're going to act out of that emotion. So we really want to be careful and look at what we believe. And again, I believe we already have our inheritance. If we've received him as our Lord and Savior, guys, we have an abundance, we have an inheritance to live from. It's not just a hope. But think about what Jesus was saying here. As I begin to lose my voice, bear with me, you can start praying for that if you want. In the culture, the son asked for his inheritance before his father even passed away. Jesus is saying, you don't have to ask. I already sent my son. I already did that for you. And here's the other thing. The firstborn son in the Jewish culture, he's supposed to receive double portion. So if there were two sons, what was supposed to happen culturally is they were supposed to divide it in thirds. The eldest son would get two, and the youngest son would get one. The oldest son got double portion. You say, that's not fair. I don't know what the gist of it. You look at the eldest son throughout the Bible. There's a special thing about the eldest. And I'm not saying that's culturally relevant now. But please don't have that as your takeaway for tonight. I'm just saying, when you think about the younger son going up to his father and asking for his inheritance, and he receives half. Like, there's things here that we can miss because we don't know the Jewish culture. So we received our inheritance. We actually received double portion. Right? You see in the scripture, that's why it's so significant. So often we read through about, he will give you double portion. We don't really deserve double portion, but he gives it to us. You know, Jesus is going to receive his as well. Faith in Jesus will receive the reward of his suffering. That's why we gather today, guys. He's going to inherit the nations. The nations are his.
Come on.
The four quarters of the earth.
Yeah.
The bride that he's coming back for.
Come on.
His inheritance, guys. That's what we're alive. That's why we live. Why we breathe.
Yes, preach it.
We're his inheritance.
Come on.
And we might be sitting here saying, you're coming back for me? Like, what? Why would you? Because he loves us. Double portion. We're the eldest. I don't mean to mean that in a way that we can just so we can go out and live our lives and do whatever we want. I'm saying we need this rightful awareness of our inheritance. Do we live from that place? We go to work. We go to our schools. We live from a place to say, man, I don't have to earn everything. I can live from rest, guys.
Right.
Changes everything.
Come on.
Double portion.
Come on.
You know, many times we don't want to surrender what we have for our lives. We don't want to surrender our portion. You know, we can't receive the whole portion if our hands are clenched onto what we already have. Only when we open them up that we can receive the double portion He has for us. We're fighting over scraps. We're sitting in the trough with the pigs, looking at the ponds. Many of us. And some of us may feel somebody put us there. It's not fair what they did to us. We're sitting in the trough because of that. Double portion is available. Then the other danger is seeing somebody else walk in their inheritance. We don't know what they had to go through to get there. We want the fruit. We don't want the process, right? Been there, see it every day, like, oh man, you know, that's just easy ride for that person. We have no idea what they had to walk through to see that breakthrough, the hours of contention, the time is before the Lord, walking in obedience, a history with the Lord. They know their inheritance. Yeah. They're not questioning their inheritance. So, touch a little bit on behavior. And I really believe that transformation needs to transform behavior. Behavior modification doesn't lead to transformation.
Right.
Now, if we're in a bad situation, if we're in an abusive situation, or we're, you know, we're addicted to drugs or porn, it's not saying that we want to continue in those things. We want to step away from that behavior to allow the light of heaven to come in. But what I'm saying is, if that is what we're basing our life on, if we're thinking we're going to be transformed simply because we want our behavior to come in alignment with what we know to be right, it's like, no, we let Him come in. We receive our double portion of inheritance. And then from that place. So what do we believe? I just want to ask this again. What do we believe? Are we sitting in the trough? Are we looking at the cause and saying, this is really it? Did I put myself here? Am I stuck to this because of the bad choices I made all my life? Is this really the rest of my life? Is this my inheritance? My inheritance is the trough, spending time with the pigs, being hungry, not being fulfilled. And that really, to me, that comes out of an orphan spirit. We've latched on to the belief that the Father won't run to us. He's pursuing us, guys. He's always pursued us. He's pursued us until we say yes. So one little mistake isn't going to make it say no this time. I always want to go into Colossians 2 and see what he says about transformation, about what we believe, about how our mind, what to rest our mind upon. Is that good?
Yeah.
You guys all with me here?
Yep. Yeah. Good stuff. Preach it. Come on.
Colossians 2. What does Jesus say about it? And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, this is Colossians 2:6, you must continue to follow Him, let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So your belief system, right, is rooted in Him, and you begin to overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in the human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. The head over every ruler and authority has given us the inheritance. And may our roots can go down into Him. One more scripture here for you. Romans 8, 5 to 14. When we were born with a sinful nature, right? But Jesus gave us a new chance. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But it does go on to say, if you continue reading that scripture, how we don't need to be controlled by our old sinful nature. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. You guys have heard it. Many of you know me and heard it so many times. But I've spent the first 10 years of my Christian life, I'd given my life to the Lord. Then I spent 10 years trying to do it on my own strength. going to talk about wearing you out. Almost get where you want to be, you know, maybe hit a day or two plateau and then just over and over again, guys. Vicious cycle. Don't let your mind be controlled by your sinful nature. Let the Holy Spirit come in. Set your mind on things of the Spirit. Double portions available. We can live from our inheritance. As our roots go into our inheritance, what does it say? Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built upon Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Have you ever met one of those people that's almost annoyingly happy?
Is this guy, is he?
Like, I'm not experiencing that in my life. More from the Spirit. Why should you? Right? They knew who they were. They were walking in double portion. I remember being home in the corner feeling all sorry for myself because somebody put me in the trough. Let's go back to the first scripture. Luke 28. This is what I want to talk about. The older brother was supposed to receive double portion, received half. He's still toiling on the farm. His brother went out and did a bunch of wild and crazy things. He don't know where he is, but he sure knows he was in the wrong. Right? What's the trap in there? The older brother, verse 28. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." Watch. His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life." Hallelujah, right? He was lost, but now he's found. That's our story.
Also God of justice.
Wayne's got it set up. We make a bad choice, there can be consequences. But he wants to save us from it. He wants to run out before our friends, before our peers, before the culture, before the enemy comes out and breaks the pot, says, "You're the rejected one. You're no longer welcome here." So again, I just believe our inheritance is available now. What we believe, if we're sitting in the trough believing that they're going to come out, that the Father's going to come out and break the pot, he's going to be the first one out there with the village and break that pot before us and say, "You're not welcome here. I already gave you your inheritance." It's going to cripple us. But if we're in that place and we say, "You know what, when I come back, Father's going to run out. He's going to say, I gave you double portion before. I gave you more than you were supposed to have. But I have more. You're still welcome. I'll kill the fatted calf for you." Think about, did we live for that? I just, to be honest, I don't. But as I read through this story, I was just struck by how desperate this son must have been. I just want to put a challenge before us. What would it look like as a community, as a region? Guys, this is so not about Branch Community. It's so not about my man Lancaster. I champion the people that are part of this. It's so not about us. He is doing so much in the region. He's doing so much in the nation. Even tonight, in the far corners of the earth, he is reconciling people into his kingdom.
Come on.
He's giving them their double portion.
Yeah.
He's
not
been living it for 20 years. I forgot what my first love looks like. Right now, somebody's experiencing that first love. Come, Holy Spirit. So I just want to again ask, what would it look like to be with a community of people that know their inheritance and that we would be secure enough in our beliefs to celebrate our success? To call out, to recognize, to call out, and to empower and celebrate others walking in their inheritance. So I'd love to be part of that. I'm receiving, but I'm the older brother. I got an issue with this dude over here. But guys, again, I don't want to just condemn us. It's like the Holy Spirit can literally transform our minds tonight. He can reconcile our belief system if we run back to the Father. If we run back to the Father. We just have the keys up here, please. I just want to give us some time as a Father to really ponder our belief system. This isn't new stuff. It's not perfect stuff. I know the Father's perfect, the Word is perfect. But he sends messengers that are not perfect. He just wants us to connect with the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. And let him begin to transform us. Transform us. Our belief system. We've been living, many of us in this room have been living from an orphan spirit, from an orphan mindset. We say, somebody put us in that trough. I put myself there. The Father could never love me. Or I did for 10 years, but there was that one time I messed up. I'm still not quite sure about that one. And so therefore, every time I get challenged in that area, I begin to erupt, or my emotions begin to take over. I begin to react out of that false belief. But he's a God of breakthrough. He's a God that runs. He's a Father that runs. He welcomes us in. He says, "Don't break that pot for my son or my daughter. I've got them. I've done enough." Let's just all close our eyes in the room. I really feel he wants to minister to some of our hearts and souls tonight. Close your eyes. You say, "You know, sounds all great. Never knew there was an inheritance.
Yes.
Or I tried to grab my inheritance. I tried to go to the Father and tell him to give it to me. I tried to earn it. I spent 10 years slaving in his fields to try and earn that inheritance. I'm bitter when somebody else begins to just read and receive it. But tonight, guys, all we need to do to receive that inheritance is say, Jesus, I'm done. I need you. Will you come? Restore my soul. Reconcile me to your kingdom." this opportunity again to just rise with process of the Lord, letting Him move in our hearts and our spirits. And say, you know, I've never received my marriage. I've never given my life to the Lord. I don't believe I deserve an inheritance. But tonight, I will step out in faith. Faith comes before understanding. Many times, I was trapped in a season of life.
Stuck here for so long.
I want to get out.
Simple repentance. are. There isn't a place where we're saying we recognize tonight that we were holding out, we were holding back. It's not a condemnation thing, guys. There's joyful repentance. All heaven rejoices. All heaven rejoices when the son or the daughter returns home. All heaven rejoices. He's waiting with double portion. So if there's something we just want to reconcile with the Father, there's an action step. You can either come to the front or just get out of your seat right where you are. That believe there's an action step. It's a signal. It's a sign saying, I am done living with the pigs and the pots. I want a fresh touch.